finally found the most generic live show. This is the generic live show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally. A Friday here on the Generic Live Show. Apologies, I do feel like death warmed up today, but I'm still doing a 2-hour podcast. We are in our second hour. Thanks for joining us here on GLS. We do appreciate your listenership. Whether you're listening to us live on Facebook, chefwannabedia.net/live, or whether you're listening to us on the podcast, the Best Of Podcast, we'll try and get those up a little bit quicker this week. It was Wednesday by the time we got those up last week, but we'll try and get it up a little bit more quick, more promptly, if you will. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Now, Amazon has feet in a lot of shoes, if you know what I mean. They have got themselves invested in a lot of things. Now, what have they gotten themselves invested into now? Amazon announces Lumberyard, name engine with Twitch, AWS integration. Fascinating. We don't nearly talk enough about video games on this show, so I thought we'd bring this up. Plus, also, it is Amazon, and it is Amazon, and it is quite handy to know. Amazon announced its entry into the video game engine market. The company revealed Lumberyard. Its own 3D engine designed to prove a AAA level development tools such at a much cheaper price point than other game engines. The company said that Lumberyard is completely free to use. There are no subscription fees and you don't have to pay a seat license fee. And Amazon is not asking for a portion of sales in the future. Amazon, however, will make its money with the integrated AWS cloud service features are used. According to a statement that says, many of the world's most popular games are powered by AWS technology infrastructure platform. When we talked to game developers, they have asked for a game engine with the power and capability for leaning commercial engines. They're significantly less expensive and deeply integrated with the AWS for the backend and Twitch gamer community. We are excited to deliver that our game developers today with the launch of Amazon Lumberyard and Amazon Game Lift. Anyway, we'll see if that stop trying to load videos. But anyway. So, yes. Lumberyard. It may be 3, but don't discount Lumberyard as a serious contender. The graphics engine is based on Citrix Cry Engine and has all the advanced features you need to create, quote, near photorealistic environments with stunning real-time effects, unquote. Lumberyard offers a physically based shutters, dynamic global illustration, vegetation tools, and a whole slew of other top-tier features to create stunning visuals. Amazon included all sorts of tools within Lumberyard. For example, Geptio, which is Lumberyard's character tool, which combines animations, attachments, and physics situation with Blendscape. Blend Space, and animation layering, and MathQuinn, Lumberyard's integration tool, which uses animation, sequency, transitions, ragdoll physics, and other options. GridMate is an interactive networking subsystem, which Amazon has said will help build games that will have efficient bandwidth usage and low latency communications. Lumberyard, which also includes a free version of AutoKinetic WWY's LTX sound engine and authorizing tool. Really, it really does look cool. But that's all right. But you know, you do. Come on. Don't be doing this to me. Don't be doing this. Anyway, we'll move on. but this deal. Okay, this deal. That's where I was. This deal is amazing. I'd love this. I don't do much game design, but I think it'd be pretty cool. I think it would be, you know, something that someone would have some interest in if they were to you know, if someone were to, you know, involved in game design, I think this would be something that they would be more than willing to, well, because they would be more than willing to invest in something like this. They know it's Amazon, trustworthy too, and it's but they would charge at the off the kind of back end kind of, you know, back end the cloud stuff as well. So that's that. Meanwhile, over in Western Australia, a driverless shuttle bus started testing. The Department of Transportation in Western Australia has announced it is in trial with autonomous shuttle bus, the first of its kind in Australia. The department will use NAVYASAS technology, which a French company specializes in intelligent transportation. NAVYA launched its autonomous shuttle service in October of 2015. The vehicle has a radar cruise control, lane detection warning systems, 3D precision sensors, object detection, GPS RTK, real-time kinetic, an odometer for its estimate its velocity. The vehicle is also 100% electrical, which means it does not produce any CO2. 15 passengers can travel in the driver's shuttle bus at a time. The shuttle can only reach a maximum speed of 45 kilometers an hour. With that speed, it's optimal compact urban environments, hospitals, industrial sites, anywhere it's best to drive slow to moderate speeds. The Minister for Western Department of Transport, Dean Nalder, said the driverless vehicle will eventually go live in Perth roads after the trials take place throughout the year. Quote, it's not a matter of if this technology will, but when it will. And that time is fast approaching, he said in a statement. The department is parenting with motoring and insurance company RAC. The vehicle complies with road and vehicle safety standards in Australia. The trials will take place at the RAC Driving Centre in Perth. Quote, to ensure that we are working towards providing the best integrated and intelligent transport services and solutions for the state. It is important to trial new initial modes of transport, and this one modes. And remember the story up on GLS in November 2015 about the South Australia driverless car they mentioned. Well, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Wednesday, well, have something rushing around, and all you want to do is sit down and have an activity, press. Have that for you. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, it's 11:19. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally a Friday. Here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. Whether you're listening to us, live or on your hard drive, we do appreciate your listenership. Now, it's all the talk of politics, and don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we will recover the politics stuff that we covered off in the first hour because of all the technical difficulties. We've had quite a fair chunk of time. But don't worry, folks, we'll get back to all of the politics games. Local politics stuff to talk about as well, and should I announce no, I'm announcing that on next week's show. Next week's show, we have an announcement at 10:24. Stay tuned next week. Next week, 10:24 a.m. on Friday, we have a very, very special announcement as well. No, I'm not running for president. I wished, though. That would be fun. But 10:24 next week. Stay tuned, I have a very, very special announcement in relation to this show. But mind you, not in relation to this show, it's got to do, I'll give a little bit away. It's got to do with this show and an election. I will give you that. I'll reveal more next week, but if anyone is interested in doing that, thechefwonder@gmail.com. Local Cairns election coverage. How lame. That'll be around March 19th as well, by the way. So, lots of stuff to cover there as well. So, anyway, what was I going to say? It's all this talk of politics doing your head in. Well, we've got an activity for you that might mellow you out a little. Back in the Zen Zone. USA Today has put together. Well, there's long late night debates. Yo, caucus has come and gone, and all of a sudden, 2016, chaotic. Ted Cruz upsets Donald Trump in Iowa. Bottom tier candidates are dropping like flies. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are wagging a holy war on Twitter. Oh, I want this, though. What happened? Oh, the progressive thing. I saw this. Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said, where is it? I just go on this. Some onlookers frame the Democratic nomination as a race, but nomination race is a clash between Hillary Clinton, pragmatism, and Bernie Sanders' idealism. Of head versus heart. Campaign reports in a Twitter debate, which is progressive. Some days, yes, Sanders says, especially when. Oh, okay. When asked, Sanders was asked, he thought Hillary Clinton was progressive. Some days, yes, Sanders says, except for when she announces that she's proud and moderate. And I guess she's not progressive. On Wednesday, Clinton called Sanders' comment low blow, passing her, touting her past accomplishment. Her records, hey, I'm going to win by a landslide, Clinton said. Later that day, Sanders continued the argument. You can be a moderate, you are still progressive, but you cannot be a moderate and a progressive. Most progressives that I know don't raise millions of dollars from Wall Street. Most progressives that I know are firm from day one to opposition of the trans partnership. They don't have to think about the whole think about it a whole lot. Most progressives that I know aren't opposed to the Keystone Pipeline from day one. Honestly, it's that complicated. Most progressives I know were against the war in Iraq, one of the worst foreign policy blunders. Hillary Clinton smacks back and says, "This is not how it should debate. It shouldn't be a debate on who's." Gets to define progressive. It should be about who will get real results for American families. Now, if you want to make it about who's progressive, at Bernie Sanders, what are you these days? Pick of oh. Less than an hour response. Here is Sanders saying. It's got to be moderate. Wow. Really smacks. Wow. But you know, there's a Democratic debate on tonight. Oh, so there's that. That was fun. They had a little. A little smack. Anyway, back to this coloring in book. It's like you can sit. What color? You can make green if you. There's lot. There's your favorites in there. There's Ted Cruz. There's Donald Trump. There's Chris Cruz. Coloring in books. Continue here on GLS for a Friday. Finally, a Friday. We will continue our coverage on politics. Plus, we will. Is Bill Shorten younger? Interesting poll numbers as opinion polls are starting to matter here in Australia as we're coming into 2016. Presidential and elections. There's an elections are plenty this season. Make talking points as we continue here on GLS. It's 11:31. Oh,
finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, finally a Friday here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you for being here. It's so good to have you here, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. Thanks for joining us. It has been a great show today, despite all of the trials and tribulations of technical difficulties. We are going to get that fixed for next week, by the way. We are definitely going to get that fixed. It worked last week. It didn't work this week, but I am using a different mixing software for audio, and that's why the recordings sound different, and that's why it took the recording so long to get up on the feed last week, because we are using a different setup than what we used to use. But that's all technical mumbo-jumbo. What you really care about is the show, so we do appreciate you and the show. We did this in Iowa as well. We're talking US politics. Before we talk about US politics, though, because we did mention US politics last hour in amongst that technical mess. Ugh, the show has been. I want to bring this opinion poll to you. According to Morgan, ALP is narrowing the gap ever so slowly. ALP is up 2.5 points to 47.5. The LNP down 2.5 points to 5%. Now 52-47, two-party preferred basis if the federal election were held now. Primary support, however, still unchanged at 43.5. ALP is up 1% to 29, so they still have a lot of primary support to go. Greens are up to 16. Nick Xylophone is up, is down 1% to 1%. Now, they're at 15% in South Australia, by the way. They're 1% nationally, but they're 15% in South Australia. Kadia Party is down 1.5% to 0.05. Powder Party is still at 0.5, and Independence is at 9.5, which is this is weird. Independence were like 4%, at most in the last election cycle, up 0.5%. Yeah. By gender, though, these polls are starting to get a lot more interesting because the gap is slowly closing. We're down to, where are we though? 40. At a 5-point gap. What is the margin of error in the poll? They say margin of error is 3,000 95%, 1%. So the margin of error is 1%. So that's all right. It's around 1.0%. Margin of error. So that's alright. So there you go. Fairly accurate poll. ALP narrows the gap. GST, by the way, the sales tax. By the way, that is really getting some attention and it's getting some ground here and getting some really, really good ground game for campaigns to get confidence as well. Let's have a look here. What else is there? Let's see. Confidence rating is at 111.4. Wrong with that. That is what that is. But it's polling. These things happen. There was a dramatic shift though. Yeah, there's always been dramatic shifts in polling as well. So go in waves. But anyway, so let's have a look. Voting. So let's have a look. So yeah, most recent poll. Here's the funny thing though. In the last election, LNP won by 4.3. Election before that, 3.7, 5.9, 5.6, 5.3. Okay. So yeah, it's interesting to note that everything is shifting, and Shorten is up to by about 38% of people who are aged 20. So it's a lot, you know. So yeah, a lot of momentum going on at the moment, as well as the gap carries down to about 5 for the first time in forever. Yeah, just last month, just January, there was a gap of 12. So it's interesting that the gap is closing, but will it last long? I don't know. Anyway, so we did this in Iowa. We did the top 5 things you need to know about Iowa in a nutshell. We'll tell you this, and we'll tell you where we're off to next. So number 1, Hillary Clinton has a woman problem. That's what we need to learn from New Hampshire. This is the top 5 things you can learn from New Hampshire. The Clinton campaign was trying to stop the homogenous homage of female voters, especially young women, from its camp in the closing days. Campaigning with Saturday, the former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, thundered, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other." Wow. A phrase she never used before, but there's one that's specifically targeted at younger female voters who were wooed by Sanders. Turns out Clinton's campaign fears were right. According to exit polls, women made up 55% of New Hampshire electorate, and they favored Sanders by 11 points. Next up, Hillary Clinton still has a trust problem. Democrats fettered early in on Clinton's campaign about her high negatives in the polls. Respondents said that they don't see her as someone who carried out them or someone trusted. Months later, the campaign was worried proving correct. A 34% plurality of voters said that a candidate is honest and trustworthy mattered most to them. Sanders thrumped Hillary Clinton 91-5 on that. 26% of voters said whether a candidate cared about them and decided to vote Sanders on 82-17. Voters are just plain angry. We've heard it for months. The public is fed up with politicians, big money in politics, and income inequality, political correctness, and more. Tuesday night's results in the live free or die state bore that bore that out in both parties. On the GOP side, where Trump rode that anger to victory just months ago, seemed plausible. 40% of voters said that they were angry about how the federal government was working. Trump won 42% of those. Cruz got 15%. That outrage is just not a GOP hallmark, though. 61% of Democratic voters said that they were dissatisfied or angry with the federal government. Sanders broke that with a 40% margin. There's a big education gap in the GOP. Trump is drawing much support from voters who have only a high school education. Trump dominates his closest rival in that demographic, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, earning to Cruz's 30%. Republicans decided late, and the debates mattered a lot. If you talked to voters in New Hampshire over the last few days, you kept hearing one thing: I'm still undecided. Even the day of, many voters couldn't decide until they went entered that ballot booth. Polls confirmed those impressions. 46% of Republicans said they made up their minds just within the last few days, compared to just a quarter for Democrats. Who voted from the late surge? Among voters who decided on Tuesday, Trump still won, but Kasich came in strong second. Some of those decisions were influenced by Saturday night's GOP presidential debate, where Florida Senator Marco Rubio performed poorly. Just after half of the voters said the recent debates were important. Trump again won those voters, and Kasich was second. One person that didn't help, though, was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Attack against Rubio, but despite spending millions in the state, Christie announced dropping out of this race. Has unfortunately decided to drop out of this race. She has also decided that it is not worth her time as well. She has officially dropped out of the race. So let's break down these results. Trump won 35.3, Kasich 15, Cruz 11, Bush 11, Rubio 10, Christie 7, Fiorina 4, Carson 2, Rand Paul 0.7, Huckabee 0.1, Santorum 0.1, Gilmore 0, Pataki 0, Graham 0, Jindal 0. Interesting, Rand Paul, Huckabee, Santorum still got votes. Interesting. Interesting there. So who remains? Trump, Kasich, Cruz, Bush, Carson, Gilmore. The other side of the aisle, we've got Sanders and Martin O'Malley, who scored a vote. There you go. As we continue here on GLS, we get through before we close out. Friday.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
This one's going out to you. Welcome to Love Songs and Dedications here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday. With your host, Dale Campbell. You know that very special someone in your heart? Let me turn that down a little bit so I can talk over it. we've all got that very special someone. And as the world of retail would have us believe, Sunday is the day to show our love for that very special someone. If chocolates and roses aren't your thing, well, we have a solution. But some I'm bringing my voice real low. That's Sunday, back on track. Sunday is the day to spend with that very special someone. Games is a way to spread Valentine's Day, named for a saint who was tortured performing marriages, made famous by a mob massacre in 1920s Chicago. Now we celebrate it by buying cards and flowers for people we'd like to get naked with. A lot of things are wrong with this picture. Not the least of which to say is the idea that you would want to get super sweet with your significant other one day of the year. Send them flowers when they least expect it. Take him out to dinner on a surprise weeknight. Stop making Hallmark rich off your romantic guilt every February. But whether you enjoy it ironically or otherwise, Valentine's Day can be a good excuse for couple-centric activities. And naturally, that includes video games. Whether you're both hardcore competitors or curiously casual, or some mix of the two, here are some great games that especially go great side by side. Cooperation and competition. If you decide to throw in a few custom made rules of nudity, who are there to stop you? You're in the mood for celebratory cooperation? Portal 2 might be your deal. Co-op mode on this fantastic first-person puzzle. You and your partner as robots, trying to middle their way through the increasingly complex series of chamber challenges built around guns that open up dimensional portals. You're in the mood for potentially relationship wrecking competition. Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U is up your alley. Remember, folks, drive with caution. You're in the mood for a Guns A Blazing Brofest, then Army of Two for the 60 and PS3 might be your box of chocolates. Short-lived franchise is like the Michael Bay of corporate video games. Big guns and big dumb heroes. You're in the mood for world-building and strategizing in Minecraft for every single platform that existed in history. Might be your bunch of roses. You're in the mood for dungeon-crawling heroics, then Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls might be the way for you. You're in the mood for a movie-themed mod. Practically every single LEGO tie-in movie game deal is right for you. Whether you love Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, or superheroes, there's a LEGO adventure game built around it. You and your loved one. And don't forget this weekend, cats. If you have an Xbox One, a PS4, or a PC, then Lovers in Dangerous Space Time might be for you. Just remember, folks, play it safe this weekend.
Thanks for joining us on GLS 1159.
This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This podcast is a part of the Geek.io Media Network. Copyright 2016.